But what I wanted to just say here really quick, like in Genesis 1, because there's just so many different pieces in my heart here this morning. But I just want to see right here, and it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was over the surface of the deep. See, that's what what the Lord was seeing at that moment. In the natural, that was where it was. But see, in the supernatural, where his heart was a whole nother situation. And see, out of what was in the abundance that was within God, he began to speak into that void and into that darkness. He began to speak into the chaos, and it shifted everything. The world that we see, the system and the universe that we see, originated out of his thought and out of his belief. That's where the power resides, is when we're in agreement and in alignment with what's in his thought and in his heart, in his belief for this situation. We can look around and we can look at, 2020 has been kind of a mess, right? Just be honest. It's a bit of a mess. But see, we started 2020 saying it's the year of perfect vision. It's the year when everything's going to be set back into order. It's the year where we're going to see what God told us to see. And guess what? It hasn't changed. His mandate hasn't changed. Those things, I believe, are still where God wants us to be. We just have to begin to see it like he's seeing it. Because he wasn't looking at the void. He wasn't looking at the chaos. He wasn't looking at the darkness when he spoke those things in January. He was looking at what was in his heart for this day and this time. And there's a time and an opportunity here for us to shift what we see by what we speak like he did. We shift what we see because we begin to take the authority that he's instilled in each of us and begin to speak it into our circumstance, into our situation. Because as we do so, that's then the perfect order of God will be established. Amen. I've learned some things during the coronavirus. One of the things I learned is that these things are dangerous. These little Listerine things. Okay? Because, see, I didn't think about it. I just opened one up, and I popped it in my mouth when I was on my way into the eye doctor. And I put my face mask on, and instantly, my nose is burning, my eyes are watering, I'm crying. I had to take my mask off because I was getting the inside of it gunky. Instant. Why is it everybody likes somebody else's pain? So I had to learn some things. We have a little bit different behavior sometimes. But the reality is that God has not put this situation here to oppress us. It's not here. We just have to begin to seeing what he's seeing and declaring what he's declaring. He wants to create a shift that happens out of his spirit and out of his desire. Hallelujah. So there's a few things that have kind of come in the way of that. I'm going to just flip over to, we'll come back. Remind me at the end to come back to Genesis 2. I'm going to skip over to Genesis 3 right now. Shandarabe. Genesis 3, I think you all know. Now the serpent, well, it's really tempting to change that. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said you shall not eat of any tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the trees which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it from it or touch it, lest you die." Well, see, here right already we're beginning to drift away because the Lord told him not to eat of it, but it never is actually said not to touch it. So she's already adding to what the word of the Lord was. Okay, when we begin to add to what the word of the Lord is, now we're already drifting off from what is truth. Okay? We got to stay where the word of the Lord is. All right. And the serpent said to the woman, "Surely you shall not die. For God knows in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes, that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. Now that brings up some questions, doesn't it? Why is this man standing there watching her do something he knows she's not supposed to do? Hello? We all want to blame it on the woman because she ate. But there's many women in here as there are men today, so I'm going to go with the women. I'm going to say, but the man should have been saying, putting some order into the family, right? He should have put some order into the family. He should have been saying, hey, stop. Stop that. Stop that. Sit down, woman. Okay. Come on now. Come on. Now we got it. Okay. I knew I'd get at least half the audience showing up. Hallelujah. But see, here's the deal. The enemy is sowing a lie. He's sowing a lie. Because basically what he's trying to tell her is that God's withholding from you. And he's withholding from you, and so therefore you deserve this. You deserve this. You need this. Because he's holding something back. You know, if we think God's holding something back from us, we're already moving out of his covering. We're moving out of his covering. I've never known. See, because the premise that you have, that we operate with, and you don't have to if you don't want to, but the premise I operate in is that God is a good God and he's well intended to me. That means he's not going to withhold something from me. That means if there's something that I can't engage, either I shouldn't be engaging it or I'm not ready for it yet. Sometimes we have to mature into that place. Sometimes we have to grab a hold of what God has made available because it's given for a specific time. But there's some things that we're not supposed to be touching. We're not supposed to touch. So rather than thinking God's withholding, thinking God's actually showing mercy and grace. See, I love that word earlier about extension. Okay, because the great extension of grace happening. I may not have a complete grasp of what she was saying because I was receiving the grace for extension, but it was like I want to get some Todd White little braids going on. Little dreads happening. I think the grace for extension. Justin's with me. We're both going to go get some extensions. Hallelujah. Okay. All right. I think it'd be awesome, guys. Now I sidetracked myself. And the both. So the husband was standing by. And they both ate. Now, we know they didn't physically die in that moment, but their spirit died. Their spirit died instantly because we can see that the fellowship with the Father was broken in that moment. The fellowship with all that they were supposed to have, where they were supposed to be, what they were supposed to be holding on to, the thing that was supposed to be most valuable to them had been lost. Hallelujah. And so the eyes of them were both open, verse 7, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. What an awesome thing. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. See, here's the deal, is that they began to internalize something that wasn't God's word. That was the biggest issue, is they internalized something that wasn't God's word. When they began to take this lie in and believe this lie and interact with this lie, now they've received something that wasn't God's word, and the fruit of that was that the righteousness that was there was broken. And when that righteousness was broken, they began to see themselves for the very first time outside the covering of his righteousness. And when they were outside the covering of his righteousness, they began to see themselves in their natural state. See, man without the covering of God is very different than man in the covering of God. Man without the glory of God covering them is very different than a man without the glory covering them. And that's what they began to see, is like, oh, this is something different. And this is, now we have to start doing something by our own effort, putting these fig leaves on. Why? Because we're in shame. See, when we start getting outside the covering of God, the natural result of that is going to be shame comes upon the people. When shame enters in, now then that means already there's a separation that's happening between the people and God. There's a separation not only between the people and God, but also between the people themselves. When somebody feels shame, their natural response is to back up from you. And they did the same right here to God. They backed up from him. Hebrews tells us that the one who backs up won't have any part of God. But that's why Hebrews gave us also the tools to put it back together. When we look and when we are backing up from one another, see, we're already putting a distance and the communication is breaking down. If we look at what's happened to us in 2020, what we see is that true communication has broken down in this nation and actually even all over the world. But there's certain people with certain agendas who are making sure that the communication stays broken down. The point of that is to ultimately separate us from the course of God had for us. Because when communication breaks down between us and God, that causes another thing that we begin to see is that they began to hide in the garden. We're going to hide in the garden. And it also causes them to be afraid. It says here in verse 9, the Lord God called to the man and said, "Where are you?" Now, do you think that Jesus needed him to say, "I'm over here"? He wasn't asking for the sake that he didn't already know. He wanted Adam to understand what was in his heart. He wanted Adam to recognize that, hey, you've taken a step back over here, and there's a reason for that. And as you've taken a step back, you need to identify this problem. Hello? Yeah. Let's see, where are you? And he said, "I heard the sound of thee in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked." Now here's the great line. Who told you? Who told you? What are you believing? What are you listening to? What are you listening to? Who told you that you were naked? Who told you you needed to be ashamed? Who told you these things? Because it didn't come from me. It didn't come from where I'm at. It didn't come from what was my heart for you. It didn't come from where I am, because what I have for you is love. What I have for you is a self-determination. What I have for you is a place of heart and love and design for you to be able to excel. So this shame that you're feeling didn't come from me. This need to hide didn't come from me. The need to draw back didn't come from me. God has caused us. He's spoken to us. He's looking to deal with us in favor. He's looking to deal us and establish us in righteousness. He wanted us to see ourselves through the covering of his righteousness. Because when we see ourselves through that covering, now we can begin to see and understand what he has for us. We can understand the fullness that he's given to us. Mm. I'm going to come back to that. Who told you? When you feel that separation from God, who told you? When you feel something that causes you to want to shrink back, who told you? When you begin to look at the world around you and think that the whole world is against you, who told you? If you think that they're, when they get out there in the huddle on the football field, that they're just talking about you, who told you? The reality is that we all have some issue somewhere in our life that where we've chosen to shrink back rather than engage simply because there's some voice that came to us and that voice wasn't God. So who told you? When the voice that used to tell me to jump out in front of the bus would come and it would tell me, I should have been asking myself, who's telling me that? Instead, I would play with the idea. See, God has given us a place of separation from those things. We don't have to stay in those areas where we're being oppressed by the enemy, because all we have to do is just begin to ask ourselves, where is this oppression coming from? Who told me that? It doesn't belong to me. It didn't come from God. So wherever it came from, it didn't have any part of me. Who told you? Shut up. So, have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat? Oh no. He knows. He knows. Have you ever done something and then know that somebody knew? I used to get blamed for my brother when every time he would do something, I would get blamed for it. But there was a reason for that. Because, see, when I would do something wrong and I would know it was wrong, then I would get my brother to come up and take credit for it. Yes, he's my younger brother. And so after a while, my parents caught on, and then I got blamed for everything that he did. She tells me that's not true, but I can tell you, it's true. She's admitting to one time that it happened. How did we get off on it? Oh, doing something that we know about. What if? And the Lord looked at the woman, hello, and said, what have you done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me. The serpent deceived me and I ate. The serpent deceived me and I ate. So what we see shame. We see fear, and we see blame shifting. If I look at 2020, what do I see? I see shame coming up. I see fear being spread. I see blame shifting going on. I see all of this. We're just reenacting the fall, and the enemy is using this to keep us separated from the destiny he's called 2020 to have. We got to look and say, I see your plan, and I'm not going to go for it. I don't have my identity caught up in all those things any longer. I'm not going to let those things determine who I am or how people respond to me. You know, fear is the thing that is the central point of prejudice. You can't have prejudice without fear. I believe selfishness is another component of that. And selfishness combined with fear, then you can get prejudice out of that. But if we'll separate ourselves from the fear, if we'll separate ourselves from the selfishness, now we can stand in the justice that God has called for. It's time for us to stand up for true justice. It's time for us to stand up and make a declaration. Because see, one of the words that came forth was that the millennials would begin to make a shift in this generation. It was this year was going to be the year for the millennials to make a shift. We've seen them make a shift, but it wasn't the one God called for yet. It's time for them to call, for us to call them into the house of God and into the plan of God and the destiny of God and release it amongst the people who are out there in this nation. It's time for us to identify ourselves by his purpose and by his calling in our life, not in some other factor like our race or religion or our skin color. It's time for us to recognize that God has called us and that we are a family. It doesn't matter those other dynamics. We're a family. We need to act and work like it. See, when we have works, we're talking about true works of faith, where the conviction that's in your heart has an outworking. See, sometimes we use that word works and it's just something for a performance. We're not talking about performance. We're talking about an actual extension of our faith being released. An extension, because see, when Abraham believed and he was standing in faith, there was an action that went with that. When Rahab was standing and believing, there was an action of faith that went with that. That's what we need to release. We need to start with releasing the Word of God, because the Word of God says in Amos 3, I believe it's 8 or 9, that the Lord will not do anything until he speaks it to his prophet. And when we begin to see, and then we begin to come in alignment with his prophets. We begin to come in alignment. It doesn't matter what we're looking at in the natural. What we want to look at is what has God called us to? What has he God called us to proclaim? And as we begin to proclaim it, now there becomes the extension of grace into that area. Why? Because we're already aligning ourselves in his plan. This whole time here, the communication between God and man was being broken down because of the fall of man, because of the entrance of sin. You know, sin is simply just missing the mark, where it's to know what's right and to do something different. That's as simple as that. But the entrance of sin brought with it all these other things, because see, that's where the shame comes from. That's where the fear comes from. That's where the blame shifting is now necessary. Why? Because until I blame shift, I'm under the gun for it. It was a whole lot easier for me to just blame my brother. And for a while that worked. But eventually it catches up to you. And then, don't look at me like that, Tim. I know you're so disappointed. But see, eventually it's going to catch up to you. And that's the thing. You see, we already know that in our heart. So why engage it in the first place? Come on. Hallelujah. Oh, me. Something like that. So, 2 Corinthians 6, we'll be back in Genesis in a little while. Second Corinthians 6, some of you guys are going to be able to quote this by now, I'm sure. If I can just find it, I'll be good and good. Well, I got 12, and now I got 1. There's 6 in here somewhere. I should have marked these out. But I wasn't sure which way he was going to go, so. Verse 16, what agreement is the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God was said. I will dwell with them and walk among them. I will dwell in them and walk among them. King James says, I will walk in them. Even more personal. Even more personal. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. What is he speaking about? He's speaking about that which is the actual antithesis, the actual opposite of what happened in the garden. He's talking about the restoration, because the things that happened in the garden are no longer, because why? Because Jesus offered himself as a reconciliation. Jesus' blood on that cross, according to Colossians 1, his blood on that cross was the reconciliation that opened up the possibility of now engaging the Father. And to engage him in the way that was open to Adam and open to Eve before the fall. To walk in them when, and that's the word that the pastor likes to use, because he likes to use all these other words, and the perambulate, to walk in. We can just say walk in because it's the same thing, okay? To walk in you is the same thing. But we can say it as perambulate because that makes it sound fancy, and y'all pay attention. But if we'll just walk in, let them know that God is walking in you. And if he's walking in you, then there's going to be a difference in how you are doing outside of this. Because God's walking in you, there are certain things that you're not going to engage. I no longer need to blame my brother. I can freely admit I don't have to blame my brother. I can now begin to change my attitude towards all those that are around me. I can now begin to change my response towards the things that somebody does around me. You know what? If my response is determined by what somebody does, then you're never, what difference are you making? Hello? If somebody shows me hate and all I do is show them hate back, what have I accomplished that everybody else couldn't do? But when someone shows me hate, someone shows me anger, someone shows me ugliness, and I choose to respond to them in kindness and in love. And when I choose to respond to them in wholeness and healing, now I've accomplished something. Now I've put a stake in the ground, and I've given the Lord God a place to operate from. That's what he's calling us to. We need to make a difference in this generation. And right now, the darkness is greater, so the light shines greater. Even if your light hasn't increased not one iota, the brightness of it is going to be brighter because the darkness is darker. But if you're planning on and implementing a greater light in you, how much greater does that get? The more that we allow the operation of God, the more we become the light of God, the more that we engage the light of God in our life and in our heart and in our design, now then the greater light we release as we walk with him. Here's the purpose that I set all this up, because all this was just an introduction. And you look, well, how's he going to wrap this up in 5 minutes? Well, he's probably not. Perambulate in truth. Perambulate in the truth. When you're going and walking with God and you're aware that God is with you and you're aware that you're with him and you're engaging, rather than just engaging in everything and anywhere, just begin to engage him in his truth. Because if I'll engage him in his truth, now he can begin to saturate me in his actual design for my life. The things that have been on my life that were not looking like God, you know what they are. I don't have to tell you. Those things, he will be able, when you're walking with him, he'll be able to take it from you. Because you can yield it. When I'm in the middle of God's love, and I feel his love on me, it doesn't matter what he asks me for. It's like, okay. Now later, sometimes I'm kind of like, what? Imagine when LaRue woke up on Monday morning after he gave me the Harley on Saturday. Sunday was, imagine he probably woke up on Monday going, what? What did I do? Ha, 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 ha. that was for the benefit of the tape or the MP3 was who told you. I don't really care which side told him that one, okay? I'm just good with the outcome. Hallelujah. Who told you? Now you just sidetracked where I was going. Got it, yes. Perambulating truth. Thank you, brother. Somebody's paying attention. Hallelujah. Perambulating, walking in truth. See, when you begin to walk in truth, that means in order to perambulate with God, to walk with God, all you have to do is just begin to see the scripture alive around you. See it. When he uses that word see, let me just give you a definition for see, okay? Because sometimes we're in here, we're trying to see in the spirit and in a way that he's not actually even speaking about. He just wants you to be aware, of these things around you. When we're seeing in the spirit, what we're doing is becoming aware. But here's the definition for see. It's to observe, consider, give attention to, perceive, advise self, have a vision for. So when he spoke to Joshua and he began to say, see, I've already given this to you, he was telling him, have a vision for this. Have a vision for the outcome of what you're about to do. Just begin to perceive what I've already declared and have a vision for what's about to happen. When we begin to have a vision for what's about to happen, and that vision started with something that was in God, this vision started with something that was his purpose, it will have a rightful ending. It basically, when we perambulate, what we're doing is restoring the righteousness of God to us. Now we're restoring the righteousness of God as your covering. When you're standing in the covering of the righteousness of God, everything that was given to you by that righteousness, everything that was purchased on the cross, every bit of deliverance, every bit of healing, every bit of provision that was purchased for you now becomes available to you because you're standing in alignment, in agreement with the righteousness. You know, I used to, when I visited with some people in prison, then one of the things that I would tell them is that I want you now to start making a plan for when you get out. So that on the day that you walk out and on the day that you encounter your dealer, you've already visited that place and already have a plan for how you're going to address him and how you're going to deal with that situation and how it's going to be different than what it was before. And so that now when you actually get to that moment, it's just an exercise of doing what's already in your heart. You're simply fulfilling what you've already visited. You're simply walking in what you've already visited. Perambulation in the Father is the same thing. It allows you to fulfill the righteousness that he already visited with you on. And starts walking in the fullness of that righteousness. Hallelujah. Perambulation with him. Walking with him. Walking with the Father, and as you engage him, now I can begin to see that I am holy, without blame, beyond reproach. And I can begin to see that he's calling me holy. He's calling me to be blameless. That doesn't mean that I somehow skirted the blame. That means I didn't do anything. I'm already clean. Beyond reproach. In other words, no one has anything rightful bad to say. That doesn't mean that they can't make accusation, because we know how this world system works. But it means that it has nowhere to land in you, because there's nothing in you that looks like that. Somebody can say whatever they want to say, but if it has nowhere to land in me, that's what makes all the difference. God didn't call us to be a mat for somebody to walk on. He called us to stand with the righteousness in him so that if somebody tries to walk on you, it doesn't affect who you are. It can get you to the place where you're in him enough that if they do something really ugly to you, like punch you in the nose, that you can still love them and walk with them and grab them and pray for them and release them and then take yourself to the hospital. Because it's happened. See, God can do these things. Why? Because it's his nature. It's his nature. And when we allow his nature to flow out of us, Apollonia, you got a new goal? When you have his nature to flow out of us, now it changes the situation around us. Glory to God. So we walk in truth. We make righteousness our covering. Real quickly in John 8, you can look up the story. I'm going to just tell it to you. But in John 8, it's the story of the lady caught in adultery. And she's brought before Jesus by the Pharisees, the rulers. They have her dead to rights. But see, who all needed Jesus in that moment? The ones who are bringing the accusation, as well as the one who is being accused. Her nakedness was laid open in front of everybody. But see, their sin was just as great, and they were about to commit another sin by killing somebody that he didn't have want dead. So I believe when he's writing, when he's kneeling down and writing, he's simply writing their sins in front of them. And he asked them and said, okay, you without sin, cast the first stone. And it says that they began disappearing, with starting with the oldest. Why? Because the oldest have more of an understanding of their sin. After you get a few years on you, you begin to understand the weight of those things. Not that I know about that yet. I heard it in a book. So the deal was, the thing was, that what we have to recognize is that Jesus was in the process of rescuing all of them that were there. He was speaking and releasing his hope and his life and his restoration, his reconciliation for each and every one of them, both the accusers and the accused. Because what they could see at first that she needed help, but they didn't understand they needed just as much as he did. Jesus was ready to be Lord for every one of them. He was ready to be Lord. He's ready to use his word. See, sometimes we speak by our action, kneeling down and drawing in the sand. Sometimes we speak by our words. But the thing was that truth was being released, and the awareness of their need for a Savior was given to them. One of them walked away with an understanding of who her Savior was. Because when she walked away, she knew her sins were forgiven. The others, maybe not so much. But it was possible. Let me land this plane, go back to Genesis 2. Glory to God. Actually, go to Genesis 1, but it's just a few scriptures back. Verse 26. Wow. I just felt the anointing of Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to the likeness. Let's make man in our image. Let's make man in our image. And we see in chapter 2 that not only, because see, remember we started this out talking about Father looked at the chaos that was around them and he began to speak. And as he began to speak, light was formed. Light was formed because that was what was in the Father's heart. Light was formed. The earth was formed because that was what was in the Father's heart. This universe was formed because that's what was in his heart. And then now we see that he's remaking us in his image. I don't think it's just in a physical image, but I believe that image included his ability to do these things. Because it says here in chapter 2, that after he made him in his image, it says 2 verse 19, it says this, and out of the ground formed every beast of the sky. Let's see, where does it go? And every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. See, something without a name is just out of order. Something without a name has no order to it yet. It's just a thing. But when you begin to name it, now you begin to place it. Now you can begin to organize. Now you can begin to cause it to have something other than chaos to it. What he gave was to Adam, and in that moment, he gave him the opportunity to speak and to begin to do as he was doing and speak order into the things that were around him. And that's the same thing he's calling us to do, is speak order into what is around us, because we got to speak out of the heart of God. We got to speak out of the determination of God. We got to speak out of the will of God. And when we speak out of that and we're standing in the righteousness of him, because why? We were perambulating with him. We're speaking with him, and as we speak in that, we speak a new order, an order that comes out of the heart of God and no longer just random things. We've seen so many random things. Those things aren't as random as they seem, because they come to steal your voice. They come to cause fear, and they come to cause those things. They cause us to resist. But see, here's the difference, is who are we going to listen to? Are we going to listen to the news? Are we going to listen to Christ? Are we going to listen to God? Are we going to listen to the one who already has everything that he needs to know about you already in his heart and ready to release through you? Are we going to release the word of the Father? Are we just going to repeat what somebody said on one of your TV channels or Facebook or any of the other places that we get so much information from? I believe when he set it up, I believe that we could easily substitute the name of any major network channel for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if we do that, it makes that picture look pretty strange. Why are we listening to it so much? But if we're listening for the heart of the Father, if we're looking to the image that he made us in, because he made us in his own image and he gave us the ability to speak into the things around us and to bring order to the chaos, to bring order to the places that we found ourselves in. It's not a place, it's not a time for hopelessness. It's a time to rejoice. And we'll rejoice right now before we see the change. Because if we'll rejoice, that rejoicing will change even your heart about it. Even your thought about it. Christ is still king. He's still on the throne. He's still above all things. Colossians 1 tells us everything was made for him and by him and is found in him. It says that he made him first. He made Christ first. Why? So that all the fullness would exist in him. And then so therefore, when we are reconciled with Christ into God, we're reconciled into the fullness. That's what we're looking at. That's Colossians 1 if you want to look it up. Glory to God. So man got to create order. I started out this year physically not being able to see. I think by late December I had started driving, but what I didn't tell anybody was that I still couldn't see. But I didn't want to, I had to get where I was tired of getting rides. And it's not the people were tired of helping me, but I was tired of getting rides everywhere I got. So I could see out front, but I couldn't see the dash or the mirrors or any of those other things that are kind of necessary. Who told me that? Who told me I could drive? Me. So what I can tell you now is, as of yesterday, I went out with my grandson, and I can catch a ball, and I can see it all the way to the mitt. I can hit a ball because I can see it all the way to the bat. I can do all those things again. Because, see, God's been working in the midst of 2020. He's still been working to perfect my sight again. Okay? And I believe in the same way He's working to perfect your sight. But He's going to perfect all of our sight. He's now working. What was taken in the Spirit now is going to be restored in the Spirit. I believe He's working to perfect my sight in the Spirit in the same way. I believe he's working in this, and He's restoring in that same dimension. Because see, what was happening was I could see out of one eye or the other, but I couldn't make it all come into alignment. What He's doing is bringing a new alignment into this day and into this year. And we're not done. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Let's begin to proclaim what God is calling and what He's causing us to see. Because if we'll proclaim that, it's time for a move of God, where the actual sight of God, the import of God, is beginning to be released. That's what we're looking for. Just to give you an opportunity, step into the move of God. It's time for us to quit looking at what the news says and start engaging what God has. Oh, you have something? Hang on a second. We got one more real quick. Yeah.
This actually, He gave me this last Sunday, but unrest, it is all around you, seemingly all you see. But that's a deception of the enemy, an attempt to make you forget who's actually in control. The machinations of the enemy are very focused. You must be very focused. Focused on the finished work of the cross. Yes, Jesus died for this too. Know you not that I have known of this day since the beginning of time? Fear not, the victory is already yours. Yes. I control the hearts of men. I know the end from the beginning. I will expose the corrupt. My justice will prevail.
Yes.
Maintain your focus on me and the things above. Rise above the circling circumstances and see truth.
Amen. 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 So, Lord, this is a move, Lord. And it's time to step in and see, Lord, as we perambulate in truth, we perambulate with You, Lord. We step in to see the world out of Your eyes and to re-engage the world out of Your heart, Lord. We give You all praise. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. We love you.